Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show, named Best Radio Show in the Wisconsin Broadcasters Awards for Excellence. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
The heading of kind of a yawner. Brewers lose game one to the LA Dodgers, and boy, I tell you what, that was, I don't know where to start in that game. Yasmani Grandal is and Christian Yelich still hot, and you had some good pitching in that ball game. Yeah, people are getting on Eddie Cedar. Here's the problem. Eddie, if you were Joe, did you go to the game last night? Did you go to the Brewers game?
I did the pregame last night, okay. Then I came home.
So if you watch, there are people in the stands from the camera angle from the outfield. There are people in the stands that are yelling at Eddie. They're like waving their arms like, send him, send him. And then he gets gunned at the plate and they're like, you stink, you stink. I love fans. I really do. Last night, that was probably the most, I don't know, most egregious thing to come out of the Brewers in the, and yeah, it was a stinker last night, let's face it. But that was probably the most egregious thing to come out of the game last evening. Other than that, I mean, it wasn't, you know, awful, but Brewers lose to the Dodgers. They're back at it again today, 7:10 Central Time. They get at it. I was watching the game last night, and I was just, because I'm sitting there thinking to myself, okay, Hernan Perez doesn't run great. And this is all going through my mind in like a split second. Should he send him? Should he not send him? It's going to take a perfect throw to get him. And sure enough, it was a perfect throw. It was a one-hop throw right there. I mean, it was no doubt, right? So they end up losing 3-1. And who knows if that would have ended up being a continual inning, a big inning for them. Zach Davies, kudos to him. 5 innings, 3 hits, no runs, a couple of strikeouts, 3 walks in a day. His ERA continues to go downward. 97 was his pitch count, by the way. Matt Albers comes in and just drops that stinko bomb. So I was watching social media blow up last night. Oh, man. Matt Albers taking a beating right now. Barnes comes in, throws a good solid inning, couple of strikeouts, nothing else across the line. Jeremy Jeffress, again, a walk, throws a clean inning. Good to see him. Petrischka comes in, throws a clean inning. Okay, great. But Brewers end up losing. Lorenzo Cain 1-for-3 last night. Christian Yelich with the bomb again, hits the solo shot to give them their single run. Ryan Braun continues. Just, man, what do you do with Ryan Braun right now? He's between Yelich and Grandal. You know, now he did take a walk last night. Okay, his on base percentage is at least .221, but hitting .185 right now. Slugging percentage of .369 and. Grandal last night, 0-for-4 with a strikeout. Jesus Aguilar got that late game base hit last night. 3 strikeouts, though. 3, hitting .155. That's just terrible. Travis Shaw, an 0-for-4 night again. He had a strikeout. Man, you got 3 guys right now that are just sinkholes in your lineup. When you have 3 guys in your lineup that are 3 guys, starters, and none of them are hitting over .203, That's so tough. None of them have an on-base percentage above, what, .310? That's tough. Orlando Arcia last night gets a knock, and so does Hernan Perez. But anyway, it was good to see Zach Davies get a good outing. I don't know what else to take from that ball game, you know, other than Christian Yelich with a bomb. Gives them their only run. But I'm watching it home. And I'm thinking in my head, you know, okay, it's a base hit. It's a pretty solid hit. It's not it's not one of those dribblers that's just going to creep out there, you know. So are you going to send him? And in my head, I'm like, you know what? You don't make the third out at the plate, I wouldn't send him, okay? But maybe you get an errant throw. Maybe you get, you know, the runner to advance to second. Whatever. So just I'm watching the outfield camera, and there's five or six people. I mean, people are yelling, you know, go, go, and they're waving their arms. They're cranking it like Eddie would be down at third, and Eddie's waving his arm like, go, go. And then you see the play at the plate, and they pan back, and Eddie kind of closes his eyes and leans his head back. And the fans behind him, the ones that were yelling go, are now like, boo, you suck. Oh, fans, you're cracking me up. You're cracking me up, you. 855-830-8648. If you want to chime in, do it. Because last night, just not a great performance. And they've got some offensive issues right now. Thank God, Lo Kane, Christian Yelich, Grandal. Thank God they've been hitting the ball. Because everything else is not good right now offensively for this team. The top of that lineup has been giving you all your run support. Let's go to Tom, listening to us at Marshfield. Tom, how you doing today, man? What's going on?
Hey, Bill. I hope you guys have a good weekend.
Appreciate it. You too.
Happy holiday. Listen, I got home yesterday, and I turned the game on at the top of the eighth inning, and I thought, well, 3-0. They got a couple innings. Maybe they can do something. All right, so they get two guys on, and Kane hits a rocket to left field. Now, you got one of the slower guys on the field trying to score. I don't know what he was thinking. I don't know what Eddie Cedar was thinking. You've got the MVP coming up next. He could possibly tie the game up. It's immaterial even if he scores the run. I don't know what he was thinking. And it just drives me crazy, and I got so upset I had to turn the television off because I couldn't even listen to it anymore.
I get it. I get
it. Will you explain to me why he thought he
because
needed
the way they the way they
because
explained it on the
I don't understand it.
Well, the way they explained it on the broadcast it was that, you know, Peterson, he was his throw, which was it Verdugo or Peterson that ended up gunning him down? One of the two, I can't remember, because I know Verdugo came in a little bit later on in the game, but. It was that last week when they were in L.A., the same thing happened. His throw was terrible. It was not a strong throw. It was offline. So they figured, a good throw gets him, yeah, but, you know, he hasn't proven consistently that he's capable of a good throw. He just came up and hosed a perfect one, you know? I get it. I agree with you. I get it. I completely get it because you never want to make the last out right there. I get it.
I'm just going to say one other thing,
yep.
And maybe I'm way off base on this, but the Brewer announcers are so pablum. I don't think I've ever heard them really, really criticize anybody.
You never will.
On that team.
You never will.
Is that just in their contract that they cannot criticize anybody? Because
the breed, Tom, I'll explain real quick. Appreciate the phone call. The breed of broadcaster that has the capability to criticize a team is a dying breed. Because teams no longer want you to criticize the product. They don't want you to be honest. If you do, it's what you don't say that probably speaks the loudest. You know, it's what, and I can appreciate it. You know, you work for a team, okay? You don't want to be ripping the team. You don't want to get too personal, okay? See, I grew up, and I hate to do this, but I grew up with Marty Brenneman. Marty Brenneman, the Hall of Fame broadcaster for the Reds. Marty didn't hold back. And Marty said, if you're not going to allow me to be honest to the fans that want to listen to this team and follow this team and know this team and understand this team, if you're not going to allow me, you know, genuine conversation with the fans, then I don't want the job. And that's the way it was. And he'd always say, now he never made it personal. It was always, this was the play on the field. This is what happened. This was not right. Now he doesn't go out of his way to rip guys. Okay, you're not saying what an idiot or stupid or whatever. Just go, it could be something to the effect of, you know, Eddie sent him. Probably shouldn't have sent him in that particular situation. I would love to know what Eddie was thinking, you know, or something to that effect. Or say, you know, like the broadcasters on the television side did with Matt LaPay, saying, hey, look, last week, guy didn't have a good hose to the to home. You know, the throw was you know, light. The throw was off target. That's probably the reason they went ahead and sent him. I get it. But in that situation, you just can't. Okay? That I understand. But to actually... You know, kind of go, boy, you know, tough decision. And because fans out there are screaming at the radio going, you're an idiot. You lose credibility in that way. And at one point in time, there was a team that I was going to do some stuff for, and they didn't want you to be honest, and I said, I don't want the job. Didn't want it. And then it's funny because the broadcaster they hired started calling me, saying, what do I do? How do I do this? How do I do that? And I said, you got to let them get into that question. You know, like if a player goes over 25 and finally gets a hit, you know, instead of saying, boy, it's been a long way with over 25 to get a hit, you just say, you know, hey, you got on base tonight. And then let them lead into the question. There's ways around it, but I agree with you. The days of honest broadcasting for a team in sports is over. It's over. I mean, even Larry McCarron. Larry McCarron used to be really, really honest and used to give you really good analysis. And Larry has become a little vanilla. You know, it is what it is. But I get it. You're working for the team. That's their product. You know, you're not there to rip the product down. You're there to, you know, kind of prop the product up. That's what they want you to do. And you're paid by the team, so it is what it is. 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. If you want to chime in, feel free to do so. 855-830-8648, Radio Joe Zanzola across the way. You can find us over on Twitter, @Bill_Michaels, @Bill_Michaels, or @Radio Joe Sports. And talking some Brewers baseball, what did you take away from last night's ballgame, if anything? Also, we're going to talk a lot of Bucks basketball, get you ready for Game 3, Bucks and Pistons coming up tomorrow night over in the Motor City. We got a lot more of the Bill Michaels Show right after this.
Border to border, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Welcome back. On this Good Friday, I'm Bill Michaels. Radio Joe across the way. Get a hold of us on Twitter, @Bill_Michaels. @Bill_Michaels, @Radio Joe Sports. You can follow us there. Facebook fan page as well. Look for the blue check mark. The Bill Michaels Show. Everywhere on the radio.com app, you can take us all over. Always appreciate it when you do. Talk a little football. Let's bring him in now. The Super Bowl winning head coach from the Baltimore Ravens. Also the NFL Network analyst, our good friend of the show, Brian Billick, now joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Coach, how you been?
I am doing great.
That is wonderful. Happy holiday weekend to you. Happy Easter and all that kind of good stuff. I'm sure you're going to be doing a nice family thing this weekend. But I did want to bug you a little bit about some NFL. I wanted to ask you first and foremost, when the article came out that really kind of pulled the curtains open on 1265 Lombardi up at Lambeau Field with Mike McCarthy and Ted Thompson and Aaron Rodgers and all that kind of stuff. What was your reaction to all that?
Well, you know, there's somewhere between that article and the truth. Where that is, I don't know. Anytime you've been together a while and you've had the success, yeah, there's going to be any number of things in terms of what those relationships are, particularly when you're talking about someone with the magnitude of an Aaron Rodgers, where he stands in the league. Obviously, Mike McCarthy's success he's had as a coach. It's an ongoing, evolving relationship. I don't know that that was an accurate depiction of what's actually going on, but it would not be a surprise that obviously when you're talking about the personalities, the success, where they are, the time frame, I'm sure, in Aaron Rodgers, you know, thinking, okay, how many years do I have left? A Mike McCarthy and the shelf life that a coach has in a given institution, and all the, you know, things that you talk about, that you're losing the locker room and your message gets stale, and all the conventional things that we talk about any coach that's been someplace as long as Mike McCarthy has been in Green Bay, that all tends to come out in the wash.
When something like that is exposed, now Mike McCarthy's no longer there, and they brought in a new head coach, and there's different coordinators. The only guy that's really left standing, for the most part, is Aaron Rodgers. Is this something that once it's kind of like quieted down, is this just like the dust settling and you just move on, or is this something you think that you know, once camp starts back up again, that is, you know, resurfaces? Does it become bothersome? How do you handle something like that as a head coach?
No, you just move on. How many times do you see it? You know, you look at the New England Patriots. This is the gold standard, obviously, and Bill Belichick. And that organization is dealing with its own issues, in a separate manner, so to speak, with ownership and Mr. Kraft. And any organization that's going through some type of transition, you just, okay, that's this is where we are going forward. As you know, the mantra, who do we play this week? That's all we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what's our task right now? It's training camp. All that stuff is peripheral. You hold it at arm's length. Has nothing to do, absolutely nothing to do, with what we are doing now, getting ready for a season. And I'm sure you will hear similar mantras, similar quotes coming out of Green Bay, coming out of New England, coming out of, you know, any of the new teams that have new coaches that are going through the same, you know, the divorce from the previous regime and what's good and what's bad, what's going on in Arizona right now, and the unique situation of, you know, that organization having traded up to get a first-round pick at quarterback at number 11, and now they're transitioning, but with the coach and maybe the quarterback. And, I mean, you just, hey, this is where we are going now.
The Packers did make some moves in the offseason. They pick up Za'Darius Smith, Preston Smith. You know, they've picked up some guys that can help them in the defense, also going after Adrian Amos out of Chicago. They're not big moves, but they're veteran moves to bring in guys that kind of know this, that Mike Pettine, who did a wonderful job last year with what he had to work with because they had so many injuries on the defensive side of the football. It seems like they're you know, I don't know how far away they are from getting back to the postseason, but it seems like they're really trying to address some of the holes that they had.
Sure, and that's what you do in free agency. Your biggest task in free agency, and learning this from Ozzie Newsome and all the years I was in Baltimore, is you try to address the things in free agency that don't tie your hands in the draft. That need is a terrible evaluator, and more mistakes are made out of convincing yourself that a player is better than he is because you have a particular need when it comes to the draft. So for them to address the areas that they feel like they needed to, as best you could, in free agency, we know Green Bay is not a huge free agent signing team. There'll be a couple more between now and then that frees you up, and you can see this now clears the way. There's a number of ways they could go with that number 12 pick. They could go with the tight end, maybe a Noah Font from Iowa. They could go with the defensive tackle, Ed Oliver. I mean, those seems to be the names that when you go through these draft lists that that people are assigning to the Packers, whether that's true or not. They're going to have a lot of options, obviously at 12. So that would be a good thing in that you can go whatever direction you need to, not based on what you don't have.
Talk with NFL Network analyst and also Super Bowl winning head coach Brian Billick joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Matt LaFleur now comes in. He gets his arms around this organization a little bit. You have your first work with your team. All the dust is settling after the article. You know, Aaron Rodgers was very outspoken about it. But the bottom line is you're trying to get on the same page. So as a new head coach coming in with, say, a quarterback of Aaron Rodgers' stature, what are some of the first things you really need to concentrate on to try to, you know, lay the groundwork for?
Well, it is a partnership. You know, it was interesting. I had, when I was in Minnesota, we brought in Warren Moon, Hall of Famer Warren Moon, and clearly was at the point in his career where he had established himself to where, and I was a new young coordinator, so to speak. Warren and I were about the same age. I think he was just a little younger than I was. And clearly, and I give Warren great credit for this, because again, you're talking about a future Hall of Fame quarterback. And we were in a position, and my situation obviously was such that Warren could have come in and said, look, okay, this is what I do. Okay,
mm-hmm.
So you adapt. And I would have had to. I would have, you know, because that would have been the job of the coach, and to be a good coach, that's what you have to do. But I really appreciated when what came in, Warren said, look, and remember now, he was transitioning. He had been an entire career out of the run and shoot. So, you know, the 3-5-7 step drop, taking a snap from under center, taking the read, stepping up. These are things that, you know, he really hadn't done for a while. And so he could have easily said, oh, this is what I do and this is what I want you to adopt. Warren, and I give him great credit for being, he basically said, Coach, I'll do whatever you want. Just tell me what you want done. Just be specific. You got to tell me exactly what it is. Can't be vague. It was his way of saying, look, don't be sheepish about saying this is what we want to do, but be specific. Tell me what I need to do and tell me how we're going to get there. And I can't imagine not being the same way. I'm sure Matt LaFleur has been with Aaron any number of times and said, okay, this is how I see it and this is what I want to do. Aaron's going to be the smart going, look, but this is the guy that's got to orchestrate it, so I got to kind of meet him halfway and we'll kind of piece this thing together. But you can't rely on ambiguity or being politically correct. You got to, okay, this is the way I see it. Let's scrimmage it around and let's go forward together to create this kind of structure.
Real quick before I let you go, I wanted to ask you, the Packers schedule came out, and don't get me wrong, there's not, me being somebody that's not really fond of cold weather, I don't mind going to Lambeau Field in September, in late August, September and October, and early into November. But did they actually do the Packers a little bit of a disservice by scheduling so many home games early on and only a couple of games and actually the cold weather that makes Lambeau Field Lambeau Field?
Well, I don't know. Everybody can look at their schedule and look at how this particularly – and then that is a unique, obviously, set of circumstances when you're talking about Lambeau Field and the weather and everything that goes with it. It's not the league's obligation to put Green Bay in a situation where they can play to an advantage playing a lot at home simply because of the weather. You know, that's not what the league's job is. I think it's probably – fairly even-handed. Obviously, the latter part, and to be in November and basically the month of December, to have just the two home games, you could certainly make that case, but it kind of is what it is, and I don't think they knowingly did a disservice to Green Bay. It's just this is the way the schedule lays out. This year, you don't happen to be at home in the cold weather. You know, I remember Aaron Rodgers, talking with him sometime about that and the advantage when we were talking about in the playoffs. Going to, I think at the time they were either looking to go to San Francisco or maybe Dallas, some warm weather places. And we're talking to him about, oh boy, in the playoffs, wouldn't you really rather be in Green Bay, you know, in the weather and that advantage? And he goes, let me see, January, going someplace warm to play a game? I'm okay with that, you know. So even from the personal standpoint, even though there could be an advantage for Green Bay, not having to deal with that weather in December probably sounds pretty good to them too.
Hey, Coach, one more thing, and I was remiss in not asking you this. There's been a lot of talk in this area about what time, because Aaron Rodgers just signs the new deal. We know he's getting a little bit older. He's 34, 35 years old, and he's going to be retiring probably in the next 5 to 7 years, you would assume. At what point do you start as a franchise say, we need to draft the guy that's going to be the backup? Now, it was a different circumstance when they drafted Aaron Rodgers because Brett Favre had already started contemplating retirement. So they needed Aaron Rodgers. But at what point do you start to say, hey, we may want to pick somebody up and start really trying to cultivate the next guy?
Well, you can do whatever you want from the second round on back and just take a guy. And as Green Bay has done, and obviously they did for Ronda Wrong Wolf for a number of years, draft guys that actually turned out to, have some growth and maybe some trade ability. And maybe you hit on it to where all of a sudden you have the guy and you've taken a later round pick that's there and it's time for Aaron to move on and you feel like you have your guy. That's a perfect scenario. If you're talking about going and out and getting a first round guy, no, you can't. I don't care who it is, how classy, how committed they are. You can't. You're just going to piss off an Aaron Rodgers. It's not going to go well. They'll be professional about it, but it's like what we're talking about Eli Manning and then maybe taking this kid Jones out of Duke. And because of the similar background, and Eli is such a classy guy, he'll handle it well. Yeah, he will, but it's not going to go well.
Right.
Because you're basically saying, look, we're starting the clock on you leaving. Now, yeah, help us develop this guy. It's not going to go well. So I can't see Green Bay doing that. In the first round, maybe you hit on one of these magical second, third, fifth, sixth round guys. But I can't see them taking a first round pick anytime in the next 3 or 4 years, not as long as Aaron Rodgers vitally thinks he wants to keep playing.
Hey, how's the sales over at X-Tech Pad? You guys into many of the teams again?
I tell you what, we're fast becoming the number one pad in the NFL, and it's gone great. You know, we're in over 300 colleges. The league has really embraced it. And as you know, we've been talking about for a while, this is the way of the future. And particularly now for young people, I mean, like I said, we're in every NFL club. We're in teams, Michigan, Notre Dame, Ohio State, Penn State, Wisconsin, all in X-Tech Pad. Young people, you got young person, high school age player that's going to get into the game. You got to tech them. You got to go at X-Tech Pads on Instagram or xtechpads.com and check it out for the young people.
And make sure you use the promo code DRAFT right now. If you're going to go in there and check it out, you get 10% off. DRAFT is the promo code. Coach, it's always great to talk to you. Thanks so much. Have a great holiday weekend, and we'll talk again soon, okay?
You as well.
Absolutely. There you go. Brian Billick, Super Bowl winning head coach, NFL Network analyst, joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider, hiring drivers right now. You work hard. They treat you fair. 80-plus years. They've been calling you, getting it done. You call them. You can get on their team. Great people over there at Schneider. Make sure you give them a buzz if you're looking to either switch teams or just get on a new team for yourself. When we come back, let's talk some baseball. Tim Allen, host of the Baseball Postgame Show. He's going to be joining us next on the Bill Michael Show.
16 stations strong. The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Zach threw the ball really well, you know, but they made him work, you know, and kind of surprising because it didn't feel laborious at all for Zach, but he was at 100 pitches basically through five innings. So we went to Matt in the sixth, and I thought he made some good pitches on Turner and made good pitches on Bellinger, you know, right up to the 3-2 count, but obviously a good hitter and he got him.
Great counsel talking about Zach Davies threw the ball well last night. This portion of the program brought to you by our friends at Cousin Subs. They have the award-winning cheese and cheese curds all at the center of their heart menu. Now they're happy to announce a member of their new locally sourced lineup, the Creamy Wisconsin Mac and Cheese, featuring the shredded Parmesan, shredded white cheddar cheeses, now available at select locations. Both in Wisconsin and Illinois, you can order as a compliment to your favorite sub or as a kid's meal, maybe, with a topping of bacon, chicken, ham, turkey. Order online at CousinSubs.com. There is delivery available at select locations. Go to Cousin Subs. That's where they believe in better, and they are the official sub sandwich of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Brewers taking on the chin last night. Back at it again tonight, 7:10 start time at Miller Park. Joining us now on the Schneider Orange Hotline, Tim Allen, host of the Baseball Postgame Show. Tim, not that great a game last night, but it is what it is. You take a loss, hopefully you bounce back and win the next three and win the series and keep that string of winning series going. You know what I mean?
It was a great game through the mid portion of the game there. Zach Davies did pitch good. He really did. You have to credit the Dodgers in last night's game for having a really good game plan against Davies, making him work. And that's what they did. And he was an eyelash or two away at times from keeping that pitch count down, and they were just, man, it's tough that they were taking some of the pitches that they were taking. But just three hits through the five, he's pitched very well against the Dodgers his last two starts. So 10 and change in innings, and just one run given up. So Davies just outstanding so far. What a 1.19, I think, ERA here through his four starts. And you know, it's one of those games. It was a good game. There's two good teams going at it. Good game plan on the other side. The healthy safety tip. I don't think if I'm Matt Albers, I feed a two-strike fastball to Bellinger right now. No. I mean, he'd have been better off with the bases empty and one out right there to just, you know, making Bellinger try and get himself out and just throw a breaker on the outside. If he rolls on it, fine, great. If he doesn't, you lose him and go at it the next hitter.
So, a couple of questions. First and foremost, how concerned are you with some of the guys as far as batting averages go? You got right now Ryan Braun mightily struggling. Jesus Aguilar, just awful. Travis Shaw battling right now. How concerned are you with those three guys?
Talking with Brewers bench coach Pat Murphy on Wednesday, he put it right. It's funny, they're winning games, but they're not playing good baseball. And he's the one that said it. And I mean, you watch the games, and I can agree with that. But that's a mark of a good team when you're not playing good baseball and win some baseball games. But the concern, it's offensively. I think with what Jesus did last year, you give him a longer leash here. Same with Braun. I think there's a little bit of a longer leash. Have the plan Bs. I love the plan Bs, Bill. You know that. And the flexibility make it come in really, really handy. Let's just say, for the sake of the argument, fast forward 6 weeks, and Zeus is still struggling, .140 or .170, and just not driving the baseball. And that's what Count said, you know, is what's missing with Zeus. Let's just fast forward that 6 weeks. I mean, you clear out a service time date, and maybe I'm just throwing this out there that a plan B could be Moose back to third, Shaw goes to first, and one of those younger middle infielders comes in to play second base.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't rule it out, and that's where the versatility comes in handy. But way too early to even put that ball into motion. They'll get on track. This team offensively having seven hitters like Shaw and earlier Grandal and now Zeus, and it wouldn't surprise me that Braun ends up a couple of games in that seventh spot. If everyone else is going to have to take their time down there, you know, he's going to also. But this team will get hot offensively. It's just a matter of when.
Yeah, you hope because the pitching hasn't necessarily been steady. Now, we talked yesterday a lot about Corbin Burns, and you and I discussed this last week. And now we're back to this again because, again, you're hoping for a good outing. Again, he falters, and again, he's giving up a ton of long balls. I mean, he would end up with almost, at this pace, he'd end up with almost 70 home runs. Given, I mean, the guy's just throwing, just above the knee-high fastballs out over the plate. What do you do? I mean, at what point do you really become concerned?
Yeah, if you read between the lines and you're listening to some of the analysis by Counts, you are pretty set on the fact that they want to keep him a starter. And I can see that. And that means, to do that, that's going to have to be done in San Antonio. And that doesn't mean he'll be down there long, maybe two, three starts a couple of times through. But that's what I'm reading. There's some cryptics in there that they want to keep him a starter because, you know, Council said it yesterday that, you know, good starters are hard to come by, big picture. And he is one of those guys that when he puts it together, because I think it's a matter of when, he's going to be dynamite. He is. And it's just growing pains. It is. And let's just call it what it is. It's growing pains from a young pitcher. It's how much pain do you want to go through the growing with? That's a matter of time.
Right. Also, Eddie Cedar taking a lot of heat last night. Now, every now and then, a third base coach is going to make a mistake. I get that. I thought it was funny. I was telling when I came on the air today that there were some fans in the replay that was showing Eddie like that outfield camera shot pointing in, that fans are like waving their arms like, go, go, and then he gets thrown out, and the fans are screaming at him, boo, you idiot, so, which I thought was hilarious. But they had said last week that the throw coming from left, weak and offline, so they figured send him. I mean, look, you never want to make a third out at home, especially in that particular situation. Completely agree, and it was an error. But I understand the mentality of, didn't look like that strong of an arm last week. Didn't look like it was that good of a line last week. That's the reason we went ahead and did it. Shouldn't have sent him, but at least I understand the logic.
I'm with Counts. Eddie wants that one back. There's no question. In a game like this, though, man, you got two of the best going at it, and you do. And maybe in September we'll have sing a different tune. But you have two of the best going at it, tight ball game. The Brewers hadn't done anything up until that point. I think when you take away an opportunity for one swing, I was pretty impressed that they did get the tying run, well, almost, to the plate late in a ball game. That's what you want. You were dominated. That game last night for a while there, Bill, it felt like it was 30-0 instead of just 3-0, and it turned from, you know, a really cool ball game, a really playoff type ball game. Although the fans, didn't have too much to, jump for joy about. It was, from a baseball purist standpoint, it was a really good game through five innings. It was. I loved it. I love a game like that. And then you have the mistake by Ed Cedar, which magnifies. And in a game like that, it's one pitch, it's one strategy call, it's one bullpen move, and that's what makes the difference when two heavyweights are going at it.
Tim, always good to chat with you, buddy. I appreciate it. It's going to be a fun weekend. Hopefully, three more victories so they continue the streak of winning a series, and then we'll chat again next week. Okay?
Yeah, you got it, Bill.
All right, buddy, take it easy. There you go. Tim Allen, host of the Baseball Postgame Show, joining us for a couple of minutes on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard, they treat you fair. 80-plus years. They've been getting it done as a company. New team, new old team, switching teams, whatever it happens to be, they get you done. And they're good people over there at Schneider. Schneider, call them 844-PRIDE. Go to schneiderjobs.com. Up next, we'll go inside that Brewers clubhouse. More of the Bill Michaels Show right after this.
Everywhere in Wisconsin, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Welcome back. Michaels Show. We continue on this Good Friday. A lot of offices, businesses closed down today. Is people getting a jump start on maybe the holiday weekend? Maybe you're traveling a little bit or getting ready for a family coming to the house, whatever it may be. The religious side of things, even. As Easter weekend is here, maybe just out buying the plastic eggs today for the big Easter egg hunt coming up this weekend. Who knows? Thanks for taking a listen to us. This portion of the program brought to you by Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Glad to have you along today. And inside the Brewers clubhouse, Zach Davies said it was a grinder game for him. Just get through five without any damage.
It's kind of a grind game. They had a different plan against me. They waited me out. But, you know, at the same time, I didn't want to give in. I wasn't going to go 2-0 and then throw the ball down the middle and let them hit it wherever they wanted to. So, you know, getting through the five innings and trying to minimize damage, that was the key.
That was big for him. And then in addition to that, the Dodgers game plan, get the pitch count up. And we're seeing this not just with the Dodgers, but with, you know, every team in Major League Baseball, but trying to get into hitters' counts.
They were patient. They weren't too aggressive early. They tried to get in hitters' counts, and, you know, a few times they did. But that was my plan from the start, was try and get my pitch count up and try and get into favorable counts.
And they did, which is the reason he goes five in this one. Not everything is kind of clicking right now for the Milwaukee Brewers.
You know, we got a lot of power in our lineup, and, you know, a walk, a base hit, and a homer changes the game around. So I think they have that advantage, too. I think for us, not everything is clicking on all cylinders. We need to go deeper into games and, you know, try and give the bullpen a little bit of rest, too. So, you know, once everything clicks, it'll be a fun year.
Now over to Craig Counsell, who said, hey, look, Davey threw the ball well, but, you know, they made him work big time.
Zach threw the ball really well, you know, but they made him work, you know, and kind of surprising because it didn't feel laborious at all for Zach, but he was at 100 pitches basically through five innings. So we went to Matt in the sixth, and I thought he made some good pitches on Turner and made good pitches on Bellinger, you know, right up to the 3-2 count, but obviously a good hitter, and he got him.
Also, you've got Craig Counsell talking about the Dodgers. They got a tough lineup, and one run not going to cut it against this group of guys.
Look, it's a really good lineup. It's a tough lineup. You know, overall, we pitched very well. They got one inning, they got it, and, you know, one run's not gonna cut it on most nights.
No, it's not. And in addition to that, he also, Yelich, if you got to talk about a bright spot, I mean, that guy's just fantastic.
Continues to swing the bat really well. You know, just hard contact, man. He's a challenge, and it's more hard contact. The line out to short was a rocket, so just a whole bunch of hard contact.
Also, when you look at Ed Cedar down there at third, as we've been discussing, you'd like to get that one back.
Look, the guy made a great throw, but I think it's probably one Eddie would want back.
Then Hernan Perez, he was also asked about the perfect throw. Was that the only way he was going to get cut down?
I just followed the instruction. You know, I was trying to score. I think I did my two shuffles good. He make a perfect throw. I think that's the only reason he got me out right there.
That was it. The only reason he got him out. Christian Yelich, by the way, the home run numbers, he's one of the best hitters in baseball, and they're crazy.
It's crazy. 10 homers, and we don't have, we're like middle of the April right now. I mean, he's a great hitter. From last year to now, he's one of the best hitters in baseball right now.
One of the best hitters in baseball, and I don't think anybody can deny that. Bellinger's also hitting the ball extremely well, but Christian Yelich has just been, his numbers have just been on fire. 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. If you want to jump in, feel free to do so. 855-830-8648. Coming up the next hour, I asked Coach Billick a little while ago, in case you missed it, I said, because there was a discussion this week about when you think you would order a new quarterback. Go to the draft and say, yep, this is one guy that I'm going to go ahead and put on my checklist. At what point do you do that? You know, you heard what Brian Billick had to say. He said, no. Why are you going to just sign Aaron Rodgers to a deal and then just piss him off? Why would you do that? Because I know there's some people that say, hey, you know, he's getting up there. I've got a completely different view on all of that. And this is something that I had said earlier in the week, too, is you just signed this guy. You just signed him to a long-term deal. He's going to be your quarterback for years to come. Why would you want to jump into that pond now? And one of the other things that I think were extremely poignant when Brian Billick joined us was, when you start drafting for need, he started talking about you don't draft for need. When you start drafting for need, you're setting yourself up for failure. And I could not agree more, which is the reason why everybody's so quick to say, you've got to take this guy, you've got to take that guy. You got to take the best talent available. If that happens to be a guy that fills your needs, so be it. But you have to take the best talent available in the draft, and that's the way you build your team. And because you never know. Suppose you already have three outside linebackers and you draft another one. Well, who's to say the first couple don't get injured? Two of them for season-ending injuries. And all of a sudden you need that depth. The only way you get better is if you put terrific players on your team. So I'm not pigeonholing the Green Bay Packers into anything. There's certain players I would certainly love to see the fall of the Packers or the Packers would end up bringing in. But I'm completely in agreement. When you start drafting for need, you start having personnel issues and talent issues and depth issues. And because look at it this way. The only thing that's going to get better if you have stacked success at one position is special teams is going to get better as well. And keep that in mind. So your special teams, because you have better talent on your team, your special teams will go up. And you'll start to have better play there, which it's, you know, it's a facet of the ballgame. You have to have good special teams. So we'll get into all of these discussions when we come back. When is the right time, do you feel, for the Packers to draft another quarterback? Because, look, let's face it, there's people right now that believe now's the time. For whatever reason, now's the time. And I'm in the Coach Billick camp. Not yet. Not yet. 2 years. 2 years I'd go before I would do it. What would your what's your thought process on that? We'll get into that. Also, we're going to talk some Bucks basketball. That's coming up here a little bit later on. The Bucks getting set to take on the Detroit Pistons in the Motor City. Game three tomorrow night. That's probably going to be the best shot that the Bucks are going to get from the Detroit Pistons. They're going to get punched in the face, not only with the home energy, but with this group. Maybe Blake Griffin's back, and we'll see how they sustain. But that's upcoming as well. We're going to get into that discussion. And after that, I'm listening to all the different chatter about who you do and you don't want to face and who's the biggest threat and on and on and on. We can talk about that too, but I think the biggest threat for the Milwaukee Bucks is probably the Milwaukee Bucks themselves. They're just that good. More of the Bill Michaels Show next.
Wisconsin-wide, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.